I would like to say welcome to everyone today. This is God's Sabbath day, and it's good to be in the hot state of Florida today. It is a warm one. In the last sermon, we talked about God's harvest, and we've been looking at God's garden and how God is readying a people to harvest from His garden. And those that will be harvested from God's garden will have to follow the instructions of the great God of this universe and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the instructions they have to follow. And we as the Church of God have to live a certain way of life. God instructs us, His people, the Church of God, PKG, the church that is preparing for the kingdom that is coming to this earth, for the first harvest from God's garden. And we are preparing for that kingdom that is coming to this earth in just a short while now. It's not long, brethren. And our name, preparing for that kingdom that is coming to this earth, that's what you and me are to be doing as the people of God, the Church of God. And God has shown you and me through His Spirit, and He does it through the man, through the Holy Spirit, about the true way that we are to live our lives. And God instructs you and me through His book, the Bible, and through His ministry. And He tells us about the correct way that we are to live our lives, and that we are to prepare for our harvest, whenever that harvest may come for us, whether it's in the spring harvest or it's in the fall harvest. So the title today will be God's Harvest, and this will be part two. Brethren, this physical body that we all have is of little consequence in God's plan. That's not what it's about. It's not about the physical. It is about the spiritual. And that is what we will focus upon today, the physical and the spiritual. And we will look at how it affects the mind that is hostile to God's way of life, the physical human man. And we will look at the way that God says we are to live, even with this physical mind that we have. God is preparing His church for that first harvest, and it's about to take place as Jesus Christ prepares to return to this earth. And with Him will be the first harvest out of God's garden, the spiritual harvest that will now be upon the face of this earth, 144,000 from God's garden to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth, to set up the government of God upon this earth. And now mankind will have a just government that will rule mankind with the commandments of God. And I hope we all understand what that will bring about. That will then begin to bring about peace to this earth, finally. Peace to mankind upon this earth. That will be the beginning. So today we will look at how God is preparing His church. And it has much to do with the mind. So, we will look at the influence that affect the mind of man. God has taught you and me as the Church of God much about the human nature that we all have. God tells us about the human mind and how it is naturally hostile to Him and in His ways. So I've said this before about the human mind and how it has the capacity to swell much beyond its size. And I think most of us understand this about the human mind that we all have. Man has the capacity to think how great he is, how wonderful he is. If you don't believe it, just listen to Donald Trump. I don't know what size room it would take for his mind. So that's a good example for you and me of the human mind and what it can do without God. It has that capacity to swell much beyond its size. But man wants to think how wonderful he is and how intelligent he is, how smart he is. And it does amaze me how God contains this physical mind in such a small container. But I don't think there's enough room in this room to contain the human mind when it becomes swelled up, such as Donald Trump's. God is preparing the mind for those that will be in His harvest, that first harvest, and for a future harvest. God is preparing those minds that will be there. Only God can fully understand the human mind. He made it, brethren. So He understands man because He created man and He created man's mind. And He created it for a purpose. And David said and asked many, many years ago, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" What would God want with such a people that have the mind that man has? But we as the Church of God understand the purpose of man. We understand why man was created. We understand that God is creating His family, Elohim. That's what God is doing. So today we will begin in this sermon to look at some influences that we have to our minds, the influences that affect this mind. And we will look at the influences of our human nature and how the mind thinks about itself. We will look at Satan and the demons and their influences upon the mind. And we will also look at God's influence to our minds. So God tells you and me that we should love Him with all our heart. That's what God says. With all our soul and with all of our mind, the mind that we have. So God tells you and me that we should love Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, our very name tells us that we should be prepared for what is coming to this earth, the kingdom of God. And the mind that we, as God said, should love Him with all of our mind. We understand that it is the great God of this universe that directs our minds to the truth. And it is God that directs the mind to the things of God to give you and me understanding. We are facing the most awesome times in the history of mankind. We can see what is on the horizon for man if God does not intervene. I've said many times we don't need God's book to tell what is coming to mankind. Russia has started up their nuclear arsenal once again. And Pakistan has a nuclear arsenal that we don't even comprehend how much is there and what they are actually funneling off to these other nations. But we know that it's taking place. And we can see that it is the mind that you and me will have to guard as we move forward in time to stay focused upon the great God of this universe and His Son. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 tells us, God says, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind." This is a unique way of saying this about the mind. I guess what this is telling you and me as the people of God is that we are to be on alert about this mind, that we are to be on guard. And God tells us that we are to gird up the loins of our mind. So how do we do such a thing? God says gird up the loins of our minds. So how do we do this? How do we gird up those loins of our mind? And what does this mean? Gird up the loins of our minds. One way, I guess, to explain this is to prepare our minds for action, for what we are about to face. To be ready to do what God says to do. Prepare for that kingdom that is coming. And that's what it's about, brother. It's about preparing the mind. So God tells you and me to prepare, to be on guard, to gird up the loins of our mind. And let's notice the rest of what God says. Be sober. So God is telling us to gird up the loins of our minds and be sober. So we need to look and weigh where we are at in time. And we need to realize the times that are just ahead that we are facing. And God tells you and me to rest our hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The truth, brethren. The revealing of the truth that God has given to your mind. And the understanding that God has given to you and me about His plan and about what He is doing. And it answers the question that David asked so many, many years ago. What is man that you are mindful of him? Let's notice verse 14. God tells us, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. And we were ignorant, brethren, when we didn't know God's truth. We were all living in ignorance, really. But now God has opened your mind to understanding of his true ways of life. And let's continue on. But as he who called you is holy, God tells us, you be also holy in all your conduct, which can also, the word conduct can also mean conversations. It entails conversations as well. And it means the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we live our lives, the way that we relate to each other in our conversations. So God tells you and me to gird up the loins of our minds. And God says we are to think differently. That's what God is telling us. To gird up the loins of our minds and think differently. To think the way that God says for us to think. And God tells you and me to become obedient. To be sober. And to observe about what is taking place in this world. About what is about to take place. Satan's world is coming to an end, brother. And God's world is coming to this earth. And that is what you and me are to be preparing our minds for. That kingdom that is coming to this earth. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, so Paul is saying that he did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. So this is Paul telling us about these things. And if what we know of Paul's history, he was not a man that would succumb to fear. Paul came out of a powerful background. And if we remember, he was persecuting God's people. And he was turning them over to the governments of his day. But now, Paul is saying that he is coming before them in much fear. Fear to disobey the great God of this universe, brethren. Just as you should have that same fear, to disobey God. And he said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Let's notice what's being said. Not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul is talking about spiritual wisdom. That's what he is speaking about. And we know that all wisdom comes from the great God of this universe. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. This world will change in just a little while, brother. Satan's world is coming to an end. Paul says it's coming to nothing. And then the commandments of God will be taught, and mankind will begin to learn the ways of peace. Verse 7. Paul tells us about wisdom that is hidden. And he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And it is a mystery to everyone else, brother, except you. Everyone else except those that God is working with, that he has opened their minds to understand the true way of life. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained. Let's notice, when it was done, before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And we just had this conversation this morning, sitting around in a small group at the front of this hall, about those young men, that's who we were discussing it with, that would live into the millennium, when that kingdom of God would be upon the face of this earth. And we were talking about this very thing, that their eyes have not seen what is in store for them, those that will live into that millennial reign of Jesus Christ. They have no idea what is prepared for them. And this is exciting for me to see that, to know that these young men would live into that kingdom that is coming to this earth, and what their job would be. We were discussing what they would be doing, and I have a good idea what they will be doing. But God tells us, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the mind of man, better said, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Who love Him, as we read earlier, with all their soul, with all their heart, and with all their mind. That's who it's talking about, those that love the great God of this universe and His Son. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us. Let's notice. Through His Spirit, that's how it's done. It's done through that Holy Spirit to our minds. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And we do talk about the deep things of God, the things that no other person on the face of this earth understands except you, those in the church of God. And it is deep things. It's exciting things for what is about to take place upon this earth. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God. Let's notice how it's done. Except the Spirit of God, or through the Spirit of God, that God has granted you, His Holy Spirit. That's how you know what you know. Now we have received, let's notice, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that enlightens your mind, brethren, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. It's what God lets us know, brethren. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us through that Holy Spirit, brethren, so that you can have understanding, so that you can know the true and right way to live, the way that God tells us to live our lives while we are upon the face of this earth. Verse 13, but these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So here we see God's influence to the mind of those that have God's Spirit. And it is through the Holy Spirit that God does it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, so that we can understand those spiritual things about the way we are to think differently. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. And I know we've all had conversations with people outside the church of God, and I'm sure you understand what this just said. You can talk to you blue in the face, and they will never understand what you are trying to convey to them about God's way of life. It is an impossibility without the Spirit of God. So here we see that God tells us about the mind and how it thinks without God, just like Donald Trump. It can swell so big, brother. And what we call human nature takes over. And we see a good dose of that on the TV, that human nature. You can see it everywhere that you look. And that human nature takes over, and the mind thinks that it needs nothing from God. God says that the natural mind cannot know the things of God, as it is given through God's Holy Spirit to those that He calls. God tells us in the last part of verse 14, He says, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? So here's a question that is asked. Who is smarter than God? Who is smarter than Jesus Christ? Could they really instruct the great God of this universe? Could they really instruct Jesus Christ? So the last part of the verse tells us that we have the mind of Christ so that we can have certain understanding of God's mind. And then we can know the truth of the matter. And then we can understand how we are to live by the way that God says that we are to live our lives. Back up in verse 15. God told us that He who is spiritual judges all things. That better said for the word that is used for judges, it means to discern or examine well or search out. It can also mean to even sift. So it's talking about the mind and how we should do it. That's what it's talking about. It means that if we have the mind of Christ, it means we have a spiritually enlightened mind. And now we have the ability to examine. We have the ability to sort out. We have the ability to now sift out so that we will know how to direct the mind to the truths of God, to the things of the great God of this universe and His Son. Now we have that ability, and we can see the truth. We can sift through the garbage, brother. We can watch the TV. We can watch Donald Trump, and we know where his nature is coming from. We know who his God is. So we have that ability to sift, brother, through God's Spirit. So we can see and understand how God influences the mind to those that He has called. You can now sift out all the garbage. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So God gives you and me instructions of how we are to live our lives. And when we live God's way, we think differently than the world. And that's what it's about, thinking differently. The way that we use the mind after we are called. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And that seems to be a hard one sometime in the church of God. Relationships. Bearing with one another in love. Godly love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all who is above all. And through all, and let's notice, and in you all. So God tells us there is one church, and there is a way that we are to live our lives that is worthy of the calling that we were given from the great God of this universe. Let's drop down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world walks, better said, for our time. Let's notice how they are walking in the futility of their mind. How great I am. Look at what I can do with this physical mind. Look how smart I am. And it's all in futility, brethren. It's what God says. This was written to the Gentiles, but it applies to you and me in our time, just as it did to them in the time that you and I find ourselves in at the end of an age. Verse 18. Let's see what it's about. We can see that it is about understanding, and it is through the mind that we are given understanding. And verse 18 tells us about understanding. Let's notice. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, better said, the mind. And they are blind to the truth, brethren. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him. As the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, let's notice, concerning your former conduct. Concerning your former conversations can be included. And the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and they are deceitful, the lust of the mind, brethren that are out there. And we were talking about that earlier, the perversions that are out there. When marriage takes place in the millennium, I can assure you it will be between a man and a woman when that takes place, the way that God says it was ordained by the great God of this universe. That's how it was ordained. But God tells you and me to be renewed in the spirit. Let's notice, in the spirit of our minds. That's how it's done. So we are to become a new man or woman. And it is done through the mind. Through God's influence upon the mind. And it is done through God's Holy Spirit to that mind. So we are to think differently. We are to change. We are to change our conversations. We are to change our conduct and live a different way of life. It's what God says. And everyone must change, brother, that will be in the kingdom of God, that will become Elohim. And that change takes place through the mind. That's how it's done. Verse 24 tells us that we put on the new man or woman, which was created, let's notice, according to God in righteousness and true holiness. God tells us about a way of life and that we are to change how we think. God tells us that we are to think differently. God gives us understanding through the mind, through His Holy Spirit, so that we can think differently as we just read how it's done. And we have the ability to now change and to live a way that God says to live. Verse 25 tells us about this change that are to happen in our lives. Therefore, put away lying. Let's notice, each one speak truth with his neighbor. God says we are to speak truth to our neighbors. But you are our neighbors. So especially in the church of God, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about that one that lives next door to you. It's talking about the church of God, to each one of us. And we are to speak truth to each other. Let's notice, this is how we know who it's talking to. For we are members of one another. And that's what we are. God says, be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Nor give place to the devil, to Satan. So here we find God telling us not to let a being influence our mind, called Satan. God tells us not to give place to him. So how do we do such a thing? He knows who you are. And he still has great influence upon this human mind. So God is telling you and me not to open our minds up to the influence of the demon world. That's what he's saying. God told us earlier through his book to be sober, to be diligent, and to live the way that God has told us to live. To direct our minds to the things of God so that we can be in God's harvest when it takes place. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may something to give who has need. That no corrupt, we could also use rotten here for that word, rotten communication that comes out of our mouths. But only use that is good for edification that comes out of our mouths. And we know that all good comes from God, from His instructions of how we are to conduct ourselves and how we are to have conversations with one another. Let's notice why. That it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30. God tells us, don't grieve that Holy Spirit that He has given us, by whom you were sealed. Let's notice, for the day of redemption, to be harvested at your time from God's garden. So we do not want to grieve that Holy Spirit that God has afforded us, so that we can be harvested from God's garden when our time comes to be harvested, whether it is the spring or fall harvest. Doesn't make any difference, brother. You want to be in God's harvest. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, better said, loud quarreling, and evil speaking be put away from you. So this is really talking about slander. That's what it's talking about. And we are never to take part in that slander. And be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Jesus Christ also forgave you. It's the way it was done through the Passover. That's how you have that forgiveness of sin. By Jesus Christ hanging upon that pole, upon that stake, impaled to that stake, that pole, through those nails being driven through his hands and his feet. And he paid that price. And he endured the pain, the suffering, and the humiliation. But especially the pain that he endured for you and me. And for the whole world and for those that choose to live the way that God says we are to live. So that they can be harvested from God's garden in their time, whenever that might be. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. God tells us more about how we are to live our lives so that we can be harvested from his garden. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 tells us, to be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. And that's who you are, brother. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. Let's notice. Nor coarse jesting. And I've seen this in God's church. And God says that we are not to do these things because of what it can cause. And we're not to do those things which are not fitting, especially to one another. And sometimes when we are jesting with one another, we take it too far. And it can actually lead to sin. So God tells us not to do those things and not to be caught up with it, but rather giving of thanks. Thanks for the understanding. Thanks for what God has afforded you, brother. The understanding that he has afforded you about the correct way to conduct our lives, even in conversations with one another. Like Wayne said in the last sermon, we don't have freedom of speech, brother. There is a way that we are to do things in God's church. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. It's a scary statement to miss out on the kingdom of God. To miss out on being harvested from God's garden at any time, the first or the last harvest. It's a scary thing. God says, let no one deceive us with empty words. For because of things, let's notice, the wrath of God comes upon, let's notice, we are told to be obedient. The sons of disobedience. Who do you think that is? The sons of disobedience. God's calling them sons. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. God says, don't do it. And you don't want the wrath of God to come down upon you. God tells you and me that we are to walk in light. In other words, walk with the understanding that God has given to you through his calling and given you of his Holy Spirit, so that you can have understanding of the correct way to live your life, so that you can be harvested from God's garden. Verse 8 tells us, for we were once darkness, we all lived there, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, Live the way that God says live now that you have this understanding. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out, let's notice, what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the great God of this universe and His Son about how God says we are to conduct ourselves. Being given what is acceptable to God and living that way. And have, let's notice, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest. Let's notice how it's done. By or through the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Understanding. It's what you're given. So that you can sift and understand what is the truth of the matter. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light, will give you understanding. Because when we sin, an unrepented sin, brethren, we are dead. You are cut off until you have repented. You are cut off. God tells us to walk in wisdom. And we know that wisdom comes from the great God and His Son. And God tells us to walk, to live the way that He says in His wisdom. And He says in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, we are to use the wisdom that comes from God. Redeeming the time, because, let's notice, the days are evil. And that applies to our time, because Satan and the demons are still on the loose, brethren. They are still able to influence the mind of man. So God tells us, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we know what that will is. David said, what is man that you are mindful of him? We know the answer. We know that God is creating His family Elohim, and that is the will of God, to be harvested from God's garden. That is the will of God, brethren, for you to be harvested out of His garden and to have a spirit body with age-lasting life. It's an awesome blessing, brethren, to understand what you understand, and I hope you understand that. Verse 18 tells us, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Let's notice how. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs should be our conversations with one another. And what I hear and see now in the Church of God is that very thing taking place. That's what you hear. Never seen the Church of God as unified as it is today. It has really been cleaned up, brethren. And this is what we are seeing, this peace in the Church of God that we see here, that God is talking about. Spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our minds, better said, to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. In other words, fear to disobey, brethren. Fear to disobey the great God and His Son. And as I said earlier, Satan and the demons are still on the loose. And they still have that ability to affect your mind and to take you out of God's church if you let that mind turn. And I've seen it over and over, and I know you have too. When that mind turns, most don't ever make it back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. And the hidden in my Bible says the light of Christ's gospel. In other words, better said, the understanding that has been given to you and me. The light, the understanding, that's the way God says, of Christ's gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and what is about to take place upon this earth when that kingdom comes and God sets up the government of God upon this earth. That is the understanding that you have been given. The understanding that God is creating His family, Elohim. Chapter 4 and verse 1 that tells us, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, and we have, God has given you great mercy and opened your mind and given you understanding so that you could have the ability to be harvested from God's garden. It's an awesome blessing. God tells us, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. In other words, we don't lose heart because God has given us understanding of His plan and what is taking place. We know that we are at the end of this age. We know that we have an apostle. We know that we have prophets in the church of God that give more understanding to His church. And we have received mercy from God by giving us understanding what is taking place and how it is to take place. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives, how we deal with one another. But even if our gospel is veiled, let's notice who it's veiled to, just like we were talking about earlier. It is veiled to Donald Trump. It is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4. God had it written so that we could understand who Satan and the demons are and what they did by rebelling against Him. God lets us know about Satan and the power that he has had. We know that this power is coming to an end in just a short while. And it is merciful to you and me for God to give us understanding about these beings, the demon world. God had it written, and let's notice in verse 4, whose minds, the God of this age, that's who He is. God lets us know how powerful He is. God says He's the God of this age. And by being the God of this age, we can begin to understand the influence that He can have on the human mind. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, to give us understanding, who has shown in our hearts, better say it, our minds, who has opened our minds to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's understanding, brother. That's what it's saying. You were given much, much understanding. Verse 7. We know that we will have trials because of who we are and what God has given us. Verse 7 tells us that we may be cast down, but unconquered, because God is more powerful, brother. And we know that our time is coming. We were talking about the millennium just before service. And we may be cast down. We may have hard trials. Doesn't matter how hard those trials are, you still have that peace of mind because of what God has given you. Understanding. Verse 7 tells us, God calls it a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's talking about understanding, brethren. God calls it treasure. And that is the most valuable treasure that you could ever have upon the face of this earth, is what God has given you. Understanding from the great God of this universe. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, inside of this little skull that contains that mind that can swell so big. But we still have that treasure, God says, that understanding. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you, in other words, be harvested from God's garden, to become in the family of God. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, whatever you go through, brethren, whatever trial that you may face. God says, for all things are for your sakes. Let's notice. That grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving, thankful to God for what you have been given, brother, should cause you to become thankful. Any trial that you have, that's what it should do to your mind. You should end up being thankful for the understanding. Always more understanding comes after a trial. And it says, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, so that we can understand what we have been given from God and become thankful for that understanding that we have been afforded about God's plan for mankind. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. And we were talking about this earlier. I've got my 80 made, and I'm on borrowed time. And I can assure you, this man is perishing. It will turn to dust if I'm not here when Jesus Christ returns. But we do not lose heart, even though we're going away. We are physical. Yet the inward man, that's what it's about, brethren, that inward man. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know how? Because of the understanding that you are given, Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. For our light affliction, that's what Paul called it, light affliction, which is but for a moment. Doesn't make any difference how hard it is, that trial. Paul said it was a light affliction. We know he was shipwrecked. We know he was bitten by serpents. We know he was beaten. And here he said, light affliction, which is but for a moment, and it is. We are here and we are gone. It's like a puff of smoke, brother. Life is short. I can look around at some of these no hair and some of this gray hair, and they can tell you it's very short. Doesn't take long for 70 years to go by, does it? See, I see some heads nodding. Yeah, just a moment in time. It's like a puff of smoke, and it's gone. This writer called it a light affliction. And he went through a lot, brother. And he says it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, so he's telling us what it's about. It's not about what you can see, the things, the physical things, but the things which are not seen, those things that we can't see. For the things which are seen, what you can see, is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So this gives us some room to think. It's an awesome statement. The things which are not seen are eternal. That's what will last. And when we talk about God's plan, when we talk about those that will be there, and when we talk about spirit beings, we talk about eternal life. Those are things that we cannot see. It's spiritual. But we know it's there. So that's the things that you and I focus on. Becoming Elohim. Being harvested for God's garden So we can become of the things that are not seen. You can become a spirit being, brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 1. God gives us assurance of a resurrection, a time that we will be harvested from His garden through a resurrection into a spiritual body. God also gives us a time order of when you can be harvested from His garden. We know about the first harvest, and we know about the other harvest at the end of the age. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 tells us, "For we know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands." In other words, a spiritual body, brethren, just waiting for you. If. There's that word if. If you endure to the end. Eternal in the heavens. Eternal life, brethren. A spiritual body that can live forever. Age lasting life. Verse 2. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." In other words, which is from God. Our spiritual body. "And Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God now, preparing to come back to this earth for some to have that spiritual body. 144,000 out of that first harvest, out of God's garden, just waiting for them. Most are in the grave. But God tells us there was a few alive when He returned that would join Him in the air in that spiritual body. "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed." We want to skip the rest of it. We just want to fast forward to that spiritual body. "Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." We do want to be clothed with that spiritual body that God has in His plan for those that will be harvested from His garden. So let's pay attention to what is said in verse 5. "Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God," preparing the mind, brethren, "who also has given us the Spirit," let's notice, "as a guarantee to become a spirit being, to have a spiritual body, to have eternal life, age-lasting life, when we are harvested from God's garden." So we are always confident, verse 6. We are always confident because we have understanding of what God is doing. That's where we get our confidence from, through the mind, through the understanding of God's plan. "Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yet well pleased." The Protestant world has so twisted these scriptures here, brethren, and they twist it to say that you go to heaven. When you are absent from the body, you are always present with the Lord. And that's one of their banner scriptures. And that's not what it says at all. Rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, in other words, to have that spiritual body. Better say it, to be present with the Lord. And I cannot wait. And I know most of you cannot wait either, to have that spiritual body. Verse 9. "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." In other words, to have a life pleasing to God, to live the way that God says to live. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences, in your minds." Therefore, from now on, verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh. Notice what's being said. We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So, it's about the mind to think differently. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because we are now thinking differently once we receive that Holy Spirit. And we are continuously changing. And we have understanding now of what God is doing. And we now have understanding what God's plan entails. And we change. That's what we do. We live a different way of life. We understand that God is creating His family Elohim. And we understand He is about to bring that first harvest from His garden to this earth to teach God's commandments to mankind and to begin to teach mankind of the correct way to live life. Verse 20 tells us who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in or through Him. So that we could become in God's family, brethren, to become Elohim. So that we could now be harvested from God's garden and become a spirit being with age-lasting life in the God family. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 tells us that we went through earlier, but let's go back through it again. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded? So, God tells us about this being. He lets us know. And He lets us know about the influences that He can have on your mind. But God tells us in verse 6 that it is God who commanded light to shine to give us understanding. And in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, just over a little bit, it tells us about this mind, and it tells us of what our battles are. And it tells us about the war that we find ourselves in, a spiritual war. And we are in this spiritual war against wicked spirits in high places until they are chained and put in their prison. They are still here. The Apostle Paul likened this to a spiritual war. And he told us about the weapons that you and me are to use in fighting this war. Verse 3 tells us, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. We have a different walk. We have a different way of thinking. Verse 4, God tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Let's notice what for. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So we have that ability to self, brethren, that God told us about. That He has given you that ability through that Holy Spirit to weigh, to examine, to sift, and to know what is true and what is not true. And let's notice the rest. Bringing every thought into captivity. That's what we are to do. It's about the mind. And it's about a spiritual war that we find ourselves in. We have to bring every thought into captivity, and we have to focus upon God and His Son and how God tells you and me to prepare our minds and to direct our minds to the things of God, about how He tells us to think differently, to think the way that God says to think, so that we can be harvested from His garden. So you and me are told to bring every thought into captivity, even when the influences become strong. And they will. But we still have to obey. And we still have to strive to bring every one of those thoughts into captivity. We have to think differently and change Everyone has to change. Let's turn over to Romans 8 and verse 1. Brethren, we understand that Jesus Christ paid an awesome price for you and me, and eventually for the whole world, to those that will be there harvested out of God's garden. We understand that Jesus Christ became the Passover so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could become in the God family, become Elohim, with age-lasting life, that spirit life that God lets you and me know about. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and in death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Let's notice why. On account of sin. That's why it was done the way it was done. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Let's notice. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To those that think differently, brethren. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, verse 7, here God tells us about this carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity, it's hostile against God. And it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, it's what God says, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, in your mind, through that Holy Spirit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, here it is. He is not his. So when you sin, you are cut off, brother, until that sin is repented of. Verse 12. Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, let's notice, God tells us who they are. They are sons of God. So it's talking about us. That's who we are. And God is telling us how to prepare our minds. God is telling us how to direct our minds to the things of God. And it's about the spiritual mind, how He does it. It's through that spiritual mind, through that Holy Spirit. And we are told to come out of this world, and we are told not to partake of the things of this world. And we are to live the way that God says we are to live. Let's go back to Romans 7 and verse 15. Romans 7 and verse 15. Apostle Paul said these words after 25 years in the ministry. And he understood the struggle. And he understood that it was a lifetime of experience of how to prepare the mind and how to direct the mind that God has given us to the things of God. And he spent his whole life doing it, brethren. And he left us some words of wisdom. And in Romans 7 and verse 15, let's see what he said after so many years in the ministry. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, talking about in his flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And let's notice verse 21. I then find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. So Paul understood after many, many years the importance of preparing the mind and directing the mind to the things of God, to let God mold and fashion his mind. And he tells us about the battle that it was in this flesh. In verse 22, he said, "For I delight in the law of God." Let's notice how. "According to the inward man." Verse 23, he says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." In verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" It's the questions that he asked. After 25 years, he said, "O wretched man that I am." After living 25 years of the way that God said, live life. Verse 25, he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that Jesus Christ paid that sacrifice for him." And he was very thankful for that sacrifice that was paid. Same sacrifice that was paid for you and me. And let's notice. "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God." In other words, he knew he had to prepare the mind. He knew he had to direct the mind to the things of God. And he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord with the mind I myself serve the law of God." So we can see that Paul understood the importance of the mind and God's influence upon the mind through that Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. God tells us, "I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by and through the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God." And let's notice, "which is our reasonable service." Just what God expects you to do. He expects you to live a certain way of life once he calls you and opens your mind. And we are to change, and we are to become pleasing and acceptable to God and his Son. It's just what we are expected to do, brother. God tells us not to be conformed to this world, not to be influenced by this world, by Satan's world. God tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not to be influenced by this world and partake of the lust that we see in this world, Satan's world. We are to change, and it is done through the mind. Just like we heard Paul say, with the mind he served the law of God. So, it is done through the mind that we may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. And we know what that will is. To create his family, Elohim. To become harvested out of God's garden. So we are to live a living sacrifice. And we are to live a life that is acceptable to God and his Son. And by doing so, it does renew our minds, just like today on this Sabbath. Even though it's a hot day in Florida, your mind is being renewed. And it does prepare your mind for what is coming. And it prepares your mind for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And that's what we should be doing, letting God prepare our minds. And God tells us in verse 9 how to act. And it gives us some rules of conduct. And living this way does prepare the mind. And it does direct our mind to the things of God. And it automatically brings about a different way of life. And God tells us in Romans 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. And I think all of us do this. We abhor what we see. As we were talking earlier, there are no morals left in this world, Satan's world. I tried to think of one good moral that people have. It's hard to come up with one. Marriage is no longer sacred among this world. The perverted minds is taking over everything. And we do abhor that, what we see. It's hard to sit down and watch a TV program all the way through or watch a movie anymore without the perversions and the filthiness we see on that screen. God tells us to cling to what is good. In other words, that's what we are to focus on, the good. And we know all good comes from God. That's the only place that you can find it. And God tells us that all good things come from Him. So He tells us to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuously steadfast in prayer. So we should understand the importance of prayer in our life. You cannot prepare the mind without prayer. There's no way. You have to have prayer. And you have to direct the mind through that prayer to the things of God. And it's how we are to stay close to our God. And it's through prayer. And I think every emotion that we have in the near future will be tested, brother. There's a lot of prophecy in this book that has to take place in a short period of time. And we're pretty sure that sky will light up from those nuclear weapons before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And every emotion that you have, I think, will be tested before we see Jesus Christ returning in those clouds. So we have to be patiently waiting upon God to deliver us, His people. We have to wait. Just like on the day of Pentecost, they had to wait to have that Holy Spirit to deliver their minds from this world, Satan's world at that time. To have the impregnation of God's Spirit so that they could think correctly. And we know that then they could go back and understand the words of Jesus Christ that He told them while He was walking physically upon this earth. And it gave them understanding, just like it does you, that Holy Spirit. So we should heed the words of this book and prepare. And that includes a prayer life, brother, to the great God of this universe. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, give unto hospitality, bless those who persecute you, and do not curse. And it's hard not to curse the IRS. And it's hard to bless them. But God says to bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things. So it's God telling us how to direct the mind and how to prepare the mind with His influences. Not what we think, but how God thinks. Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And we need to always remember that all good things come from the great God of this universe. That's where they come from. Verse 18 tells us, if it is possible, as much as depends on us, live peaceably with all men, everybody. Not just those sitting in this room. Everybody. Do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will, let's notice, heap coals of fire upon his head. It's a day of judgment coming, brother. And God says that vengeance is His, not ours. But you have a front row seat to see all these events unfold. You have a front row seat to see that lake of fire unfold. You will have a front row seat to see those coals of fire that God is talking about. God tells us, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Chapter 13 and verse 1. God has set up a way in His church to help prepare the mind, and a way to help direct the mind to the things of God, to change. And it's how God works, Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, to teach us on His Sabbath day of the way we are to conduct ourselves and live our lives. Romans 13 and verse 1 tells us, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. That's how it's done. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist, let's notice, if you resist, will bring judgment on themselves. That's what will take place. It's just how God works. And it's for the good of the whole church. And God does it the correct way. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? That's the question that is being asked. Do what is good. That's all you have to do. Live the way that God says live. And you will have praise from the same. For He is God's minister to you. Let's notice. For good, so that you can be harvested from God's garden and have that eternal life in that spiritual body. So it's for the good. It's to help prepare the mind, to direct the mind to the things of God. That's why the ministry is here. And He is God's minister for good. Do this knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's not a time to be sleeping in the church of God. It's a time to stay awake. Like we read earlier, it's a time to stay alert. It's a time to prepare. It's a time to let God prepare your mind. God says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So we can see that this is very true when we look on the horizon. It where this world is. We don't need this book to tell us that man will destroy every living thing upon the face of this earth if Jesus Christ did not return to this earth. It would take place. God tells us the night is far spent, the day is at hand, and that's really true for where we are at in time. We're on a countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. And it is not long before our salvation will be a reality. And we can see the day. We can look on that horizon. And we can see how near it really is. We can see Russia. We can see China. We can see all of the alliances have been made. And we will come to a crescendo that our minds will not comprehend. God tells us to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, God says, prepare your mind. Put on the armor of God. In verse 13, and He says, walk properly. In other words, the way that God says we are to walk. Direct the mind to take the steps that God deems necessary for you. And that means coming out of this world and not taking part in this world, which is contrary to the great God of this universe. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and that's all you see on that TV. Lewdness and lust. With all the movies that you can try to watch, maybe you can find some. I hadn't found them. There may be one out there made in 1930 somewhere. God tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's not where our minds should be. Not on those things. Not on this flesh. We are to let God prepare our minds. And we are to prepare for what is coming to this earth in a short while. Let's go over to Ephesians 5 in verse 15. And let's see some further instructions from God about the way that we are to conduct ourselves. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And how do we become wise? We become wise by directing this mind to the things of God. That's where wisdom comes from, God. Only place you can acquire true wisdom. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we do have to redeem the time. We live at the end of an age when the demons will be released to do some awesome things upon this earth. We will see some horrific evil at the end of this age. Satan will not go out without kicking and screaming. And some of us will have eyes to see the evil that will take place. And we do have to redeem the time that is ahead of us. We do have to let God prepare our minds for what we will see. Like I said earlier, there are some prophecies that are written in this book that have to be fulfilled just before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And that time is short. Don't have much time to fulfill some of those prophecies. It can be done quick, and I hope it is quick. Verse 17, God tells us, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we do understand that will, that it is to create His family, Elohim, to give us a spiritual body with eternal life, age-lasting life, to be harvested from His garden. Verse 18, the last part tells us to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, just like we read earlier, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we have conversations. And thank God for our minds that He has prepared, brethren, because that's what it's about. The battle for this man. That's actually what it's about. And we should always give thanks to God for opening our minds to His truth, to His plan for all of mankind eventually, that want to be there in the God family. Chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. God tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. The reason for putting this armor on, brother, God tells us it's so we can stand against the wiles of Satan. That's why you want to have that armor on. And if you take that armor off, you know what happens. God tells us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So it's a spiritual war that is taking place. We do have to put on the armor of God to prepare the mind. And we can't take that armor off. We've read these scriptures many, many times. But these scriptures are going to take on a more awesome meaning to you and me in the near future. And we will see some awesome sights upon the face of this earth. We will realize who we are really wrestling with as Satan's world comes to an end. And we will see these spiritual powers that are in high places now be gathered up and chained and put in prison for 1,000 years. And hopefully most eyes sitting in this room will see some of these events and live through some of these events when it takes place. We wouldn't want to go into battle with half of the armor on. You would want all the armor that you could get. And that's the example that God has given us, to put on the whole armor, not just part of it. God tells us to take up that whole armor so that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, even with all the armor, doing all that it takes to stand. We have to fight continuously, and I think we all understand that. It is a continuous fight in this flesh. God tells us how. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist. Let's notice with what? With truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The way we live, brother. The way that God says to live life. And having shod your feet. Let's notice. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. And we will have to have some kind of faith as we see these things unfold upon this earth. Verse 17, God tells us to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword that we will use, brethren, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of God's truth that is in your mind. It's where the Spirit dwells. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known, let's notice, what we talked about earlier, the mystery of the gospel. And we are reading it today, brother, that very mystery that was given to Paul. For which I am an ambassador in chains. In other words, he was in this flesh, wanting to be freed from this fleshly body, to be in that spiritual body, to be delivered from this flesh, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak while he was in that flesh. He wanted that ability. So we will have to put on the whole armor of God as we face the events in our future. And we find ourselves just as he did, as ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are. And we will have to take up the whole armor of God to stand before this age comes to an end. Let's go over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1 tells us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on not on the things of the earth, earthly things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where it said. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear him in glory. Talking about those that will be harvested from God's garden when he comes back to this earth. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we are told of a different way of life. We are told to think differently. God tells you and me how we are to direct our paths while we are upon this earth in this flesh. Verse 6, he tells us, because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And we all came out of this world. We all walked in darkness. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And all of us have had to deal with the issues of our past. We've all had to deal with our human nature and our influences. God tells us we have to change. God tells us that if we do not change, we could not be harvested from His garden. We cannot become Elohim. God tells us that we have to put on a new man. God tells us that we have to prepare the mind. We have to direct the mind to the things of God and what God says and how He says we are to conduct our lives. We know about this human mind that we talked about earlier and the ability that it has to swell beyond its size. But God has this little pen, and He can deflate that mind quickly. And He can do it over and over if He has to, as long as you repent. Because this mind will swell in a moment, brother. I don't believe you could blow it up with an air hose as fast as that mind could swell. If you don't believe it, just watch the TV. You can see it. You can see that mind swell well beyond its intended size. God says don't lie to one another. God tells us to put off the old man with all of his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. And we are. Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, post by post, which we all look so forward to get that little tidbit for the mind to be renewed. And it does renew your mind. I see the head shaking. Everybody waits patiently. I use that word loosely, patiently. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. God has a long list for you and me. It's a long, long list. He knows us. He's been dealing with man a long, long time. You can't hide from God. Making hide from one another, but you can't hide from God. And God has a long list of change for you and me. And I'm reading a lot of it right here. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That's a hard one. The last part, especially. I see that's a hard one. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Doesn't say you can't do it. God says you must do it. It's not an option. To be harvested from God's garden, you will have to do this. You will have to do these things. But above all things, all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, better said, your minds. And we were talking about this peace of mind that is in all of our minds. Doesn't make any difference how hard the trials are. You still have that peace of mind. Doesn't matter what you face, it's still there. God tells us to be thankful for that. Be thankful for what He has given you, especially that peace of mind that comes through His Spirit, so that you can understand, so that you can know the truths that are in this book, so that you can understand what is about to take place upon this earth. God tells us it's like looking through a dark glass, but we can see it. We can see on the horizon. We're seeing it all come together to a crescendo. So, brethren, you and me should be thankful to our God for revealing to us His truth and His great plan for all of mankind eventually. And it does bring that peace of mind to you and me because of what we know, that understanding that we have. Verse 16 for our last scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, your minds, better said, to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks, just what we've been talking about in this sermon, to God the Father through Him. And that will conclude the sermon today.